Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, today, we're going to ask a question today. When, of all the things that that Jesus could have told us, the Son of God could have told us, and he said, you know, that we don't live by just bread alone. I mean, think about that. But we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we want to kind of ponder that today and kind of talk about it, because when you think about that, you're thinking like, how many people are trying to live? They're doing so many different things to be able to just like, maybe I can get this job, and maybe if I get this raise, and maybe if I have a relationship with that person, and maybe if I move here, maybe if I move there, and they keep trying to, you know, maybe this food or these clothes or this thing or that, and they're trying to find out, you know, how do I live? How do I have life? And it's like, wait a minute, maybe let's ponder today. Maybe we're trying to live our lives off of bread alone, things that we can get in the natural sense. It makes me think about this. When you think about the Word of God, the Scriptures, listen to Denzel Washington and his wife talk about, as they were part of a project to be able to read Scripture in a dramatic form for people to be able to hear it and what they had to say about it. Take a look.
How much of this is about making the Bible more accessible?
You know, I think that just the idea of a CD, you know, something you pop in the car and listen to, is easier. It's not, you don't have to sit down that's a question for Robbie, but you didn't change the words at all necessarily. They're verbatim. Okay.
Yeah. It's the same
words. But someone interpreting it, first of all, as an actor or interpreting, or not even an actor, just interpreting it, might hopefully make it more attainable, understandable.
Is that, what was your motivation for doing this?
I felt that it was a privilege to be able to do it, especially to work with my husband and to do the book that we did. So it's a love story. And it's a true story, and it's an outline, I thought, for the original design of marriage, and it was an opportunity to express that love for your mate and for God and in his original design to give to others, and hopefully it'll catch.
Is that part of it, making
me
a catch?
Too.
Yeah, you too.
I didn't go that deep, but I'm listening. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I want it to catch. I want it to catch. I want what I feel the Bible does for me, the Word, the truth. I would like to be that light for others. And this was a great opportunity to start making that happen.
Do you think this is something that people who maybe have not picked up a Bible will listen to? Or is this for the person who owns three Bibles?
I think it's for everybody. Again, you know, you there's some new artist you haven't heard to, you might pick up the CD and listen to. This is maybe something you haven't heard at all, maybe something you know or think you know from cover to cover. I think it covers the spectrum. I think that's the good thing about it. It does make it easier, more accessible. Just get it, put it on, and find out. You don't have to do anything but listen.
So this is going to sound like a silly question, but why do you two think the Bible is the bestseller year after year after year that it is?
I think that because inside of every one of us, we have something tugging at us, telling us to believe in something, to have faith in something bigger than ourselves. I think that we're born with that. I think that's natural. That's the God in us. And however, and some people get misguided as to what it is, and they start believing in, you know, playing cards or whatever it is they're going to believe in. But that thing is gnawing at each and every one of us. We all have that. So we all search, hopefully. And this is a part of that. This is actually the answer that people are looking for. They just don't know it. Listen to it. Give it a shot is what I'm saying.
And
okay.
I still think that you find that you can find any answer in there, I believe.
Right.
And not just any answer, but the truth of the question, I think.
And, you know, there is a block. I've had it. We've all had it. Like, man, this book with the these and thous and thou dost doest and, you know. How do I relate? And I think hearing it, well, you'll go, well, hey, that's, you know, that's Pauletta's saying that. Okay. You know, or Denzel or whoever the other people are, people that you know. Mm-hmm. That's, and Robbie put, I mean, I don't know all the names. There's thousands of
hundreds or whatever.
It's an amazing group.
Oh, okay, that's
that person that I know that I've seen do this or that, or even some that you don't know, but it sounds familiar. It's, you know, it's one of your own putting it out there.
And I think that's the reason for many versions, too, of the Bible, that the thous and the these are taken out, and like the NIV version, it's more contemporary language, but the meaning of it hasn't been tampered with, and that's the important thing. And I find it interesting that it's one of the few documents or manuscripts or book that has lasted all of this time. And it's and if you live by it, which we try to do, it's proven itself over and over and over and over again. So, you know.
And so do you feel like all these different versions, just kind of any way that people can get at it, it's a good thing? You know, they have the Bride's Bible, the Groom's Bible, your audio Bible, you know, the Bible Experience. There's a waterproof Bible.
A waterproof
Bible? Yeah, I just read that too.
Bible.
It's a waterproof
Bible. If you want to take a bath and read the Bible, scuba dive, read the Bible.
Okay. You learn something new every day. The waterproof Bible. Check that one out.
But as people who read the Bible, is that kind of a good thing that there are all these different versions?
I think so. I think if you're heading in the right direction, you know, you're heading out. However you get there, just get there.
So you're looking at, here is Denzel and Paulette Washington talking about this Word of God. You know, men do not live on bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's kind of watching those looks that Paulette was giving Denzel. I was like, man, I hope he gets this. Anyways, so you think, like, well, they're pondering it, and that every answer could be found, you know, in regards to, you know, God telling us, you know, in His Word. And when you think about it, it's like, wow. You know, maybe, and this is what we're going to explore when we get back from this break, is like, you know, maybe you've been trying to find life everywhere else with just basically by bread, you know, things that you get, things that you see, but it never crossed your mind that the only way that you can actually get life, get this whole feeling in your life that you're designed to have, is get it through the Word of God, what God is saying, what is He saying to you? And Paulette and Denzel, you know, as they begin to talk right here, you know, with marriage, it defines, you know, how marriage should be, it defines how life should be. And we're just going to explore that, because wouldn't that be neat if you could find out and solve the problem? It'd save you a lot of money. It'd save you a lot of time. It's like, let's begin to explore, what did Jesus mean when He said, men do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God?
It's just all vanity. It's just... You know, stuff and things, it just doesn't work. I mean, he's one of the wealthiest men that walked the face of the earth, and very wise. And so many, especially people that are trying to sell you things, are trying to tell you these things will make you happy.
You absolutely have to have it.
We're just used to being marketed to.
Yes, we are.
I mean, it's amazing. How about this bread? How about that bread? Oh, that's the bread you had last week. You got to have this bread, this kind of car, that kind of car.
Stronger, richer, right? All this stuff.
Yes. And so what does it mean? Because right now, you know, some of the statistics in regards to, well, you know, this is some time back when Denzel and Paulette were working on a project to be able to put the Word, God's Word, alive. And you think about, you know, the Word of God. Jesus says, in the beginning was the Word. This is John, Gospel of John, chapter 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh. So it's not like a noun or an adjective or subject-verb agreement here. It's that when God speaks, it happens. You have men's words, and men's words may be many, but they're not powerful. God's Word I mean, if God looks at a green tree and says you're brown, guess what? Even though you're looking at a green tree, when he begins to speak, by the time he finishes, this green tree is going to turn brown. It's going to be brown. That's the difference. That's the power in your life when you understand the power that's in God's word. Because,
that's right.
You know, I just really, you know, we got a lot of things you're going to be sharing here about, you know, where do we stand in regards to the word and Bibles. I think, you know, so many people have Bibles. But it's like, you know, that God would begin to give you a hunger and a reality. Why the word? You know, why did he tell us that you need this to be able to live? You need the word to live because there's life in the word. It's
That's
like,
right.
Man, if I get hungry and have, you know, not just hungry, but hungry.
Hungry, yeah, as Derek would say.
Yeah, that, you know, your stomach may begin to growl. You become dysfunctional. And it's like, you know, I got to get a chip. I got to get something inside of me.
Quickly.
Because my life ain't working well. My body's not working well right now because it needs food. And it's some natural understanding. But that's the bread part of us.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another part of us that does get dysfunctional and it starts not acting right. But for some reason, you know, according to statistics, we have not been feeding that part of us, which means that we've been lacking in life itself when you think about it, right?
Absolutely.
What are some of the, you think about, because the word then is the scripture, the word of God, right?
That's
the Bible.
Right. Well, there was a study conducted, actually the American Bible Society commissioned this study, and it was the Barna Group that actually conducted, and they interviewed adults across the United States on some, they had some key objectives, the perceptions of the Bible, Bible penetration, Bible engagement, and Bible literacy. And one of the things that they discovered in their, you know, study was about Bible perception. This is on page 6.
So how people perceive the Bible.
Yeah, and you're probably looking at a graph right now. But when people were asked to name the books that come to mind when they consider sacred literature or holy books, Americans overwhelmingly named the Bible at 79%. 79%.
Compared to the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, the Book of Mormon, others, I mean, out of that, 79% of them said it's the Bible.
Right. That's the holy sacred book. When you, in contrast, only 12% felt the Quran was.
Right.
And so what we're seeing.
And then 7% the Torah, and then
5%
the Book of Mormon.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it was like other 5%.
That's pretty powerful. That's like, you know, out of 300-something million folks.
Yeah.
That's 79% of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like that people are aware.
There's
that's important.
Awareness.
That's
Absolutely.
Important. I mean, at least we know where the milk is at.
Yes.
At least we know where the box of food is. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Got it. Got
yes.
It. Got it.
And then continuing on page 7, it says half of Americans, because it's talking about beliefs about the Bible, half of Americans, 50%, strongly agree that the Bible contains everything a person needs to know on how to live a meaningful life.
That's what Paulette was saying. You know, she was talking about, you know, how marriage should be, how life should be, and it's pretty explicit. I mean, the Bible tells us very specific things. You know, it's sort of like the writer that said, you know, it's not the things in God's word I don't understand that bother me. It's the things that I do understand.
Yeah. Mark Twain.
Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm.
And when we struggle with not wanting to be in the word, and we're saying is that we don't want life.
Yeah.
We don't want, and it's like,
yeah.
If we're going to live, we're not going to live by bread alone. We're going to live by the word gives us life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's powerful when you think about it.
And
50%,
really,
huh?
Yeah. And in contrast to other books, I mean, Americans were also asked their views on whether or not they agree that the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon are all different expressions of the same spiritual truth. Only 18% believe that. So the great majority understand that all three of these books,
it
ain't the same. Okay? It's not the same.
And if we're going to find out probably that people aren't reading them, so they wouldn't know.
They wouldn't know.
They wouldn't even know that the Quran is the antithesis of,
correct.
Of the Bible. It's the opposite.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
In regards to that.
Right. And still on page 7, they continue to talk about the role of the Bible in society. 50% of adults believe that the Bible has too little influence in the United States today. So people are recognizing, 50% are recognizing that the Bible is not playing enough significance in what we're seeing.
It's like 160 million people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise God.
And only 16% think that it has too much influence.
It seems like the same 16-18%.
Yeah, same genre. Yeah, right. And you're seeing these graphs, and you take a good look at them here on your screen, because as you can see, it's playing out. It's plain. Now, in terms,
it is definitely a plain graph.
Yeah, there's nothing to it. Very, very simple. But it gets the point across.
It helps you see it.
Yeah, it gets the point across. And in terms of Bible penetration, they said the vast majority, this is on page 9, the vast majority of adults, 88%, say their households own a Bible.
88%.
But this has been a decline, actually, because in past two decades, it went from 92% in 1993 down to 88%. Although that is a high number, it was a drop. And
the reason why we're talking about the Bible is because it's the Word of God. And man does not live by bread alone, but by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So when men wrote the Bible, they wrote it in its original text through the unction of the voice of God. You think about, this is what Jesus says, listen, I'm going to send you out like sheep amongst
wolves.
And be as gentle as a dove and as wise as a serpent. But you're going to be taken before, you know, authority. You're going to be taken before kings and governors and all this kind of stuff. You're going to be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, don't worry about what you're going to say, because when you're there, the Spirit, the Father's Spirit, the Spirit of God will speak through you. That's that Word of God. You know, and whatever you're full of comes out of you.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Because Jesus said, he says, you know, whatever our heart is full of, that's what comes out of our mouth.
It's the overflow.
It's the overflow of our heart. And so we can direct our tongue by overflowing our heart with the content that we want to come out of our mouth. But we can't just splash a few little things in there, but put a whole bunch of other things in there that are contrary to God's word and think we're going to have a life that's full. And you'll find out when you're starting to feel like, you know, that the air is leaving your balloon, that life is seeming difficult. It's because you've been moving on bread alone. Something has happened, and the words that have been coming to you are words of death and doubt and unbelief, and you know you won't fit and it won't make it and all these different things. But if you get back into the Word, and it looks like 88% own a Bible, you know, to be able to get into the Word, that's very, very hopeful. Yeah. We're going to go this break, and we're going to come right back. But this is important, because we're going to take you, before this program's up, to China. And what you're going to see is just going to bless your heart. But it's this that we're talking about. You know, we're talking about, you know, what did Jesus mean when he said, you know, the man does not live by bread alone, but by the words that proceed, that he shall live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. I mean, how many people are struggling with, you know, I just don't feel like I'm living life. Something's not happening. But I know, you know, businessmen who begin to understand Jesus' words, and they say, you know what? I'm going to make Proverbs a part of how I run my business.
That's right.
I'm going to read Proverbs, and I'm going to run my business like God says, run your business with this wisdom, and their business just prospers.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how you think you don't have enough, that you give out of your lack in obedience to God, because he says in his word, you know, give a part of your first fruits, and all of a sudden somehow you didn't have enough you thought at the beginning, but now you actually have more than enough. You know, and these are things that you find out that's in the Word of God, and life begins to happen in every aspect of our life when we say, you know what, I'm going to line my life up with what the Word of God is saying so that my life is full, you know?
Sure. When the author of life makes a love letter available for us, the Bible, it helps us in all areas of life. It helps us relate to him and to relate to others. No man's an island, and we weren't meant to live this life separated and isolated, but in union with each other and with God.
And so to live is to actually be in relationship with the one who gives life, and he does that through his word.
Yeah.
One of the biggest ways is through his word. It's just there's life in his word.
So you're saying it's quite difficult to have a relationship with the author of life without engaging in reading the Bible.
I guess if God is signing, that could get it. But, you know, and some people may need signing to get, but still it's the signing of what God says.
Right.
You know, it's what God, there's power in the Word of God. When God says, if you say this and you believe this and you don't doubt, and in your heart you believe what you say is going to come to pass, and you ask it in Jesus' name, and you are in alignment with the will of God, you're going to begin to see things happen. But you wouldn't even know that if you were a part of that 18% who don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Or even those that are engaging or reading the Word. What does it say about the, those that are reading the Word?
Those that are reading the Word. Well, this was taken.
On page? What's page?
Yeah, this is page 11. This is interesting because this part of the study is those who actually read the Bible. Mm-hmm. And to qualify for that, they had to read it at least 3 to 4 times a year. Now, let me read you some.
Wait a minute. I read it like 3 to 4 times
a
year?
Yeah, at least 3 to 4 times a year. That's who they considered those who are reading the Bible. Okay, so.
Well, that's very low standards.
Yes, very low.
Can you imagine, you know, only read stop signs 3 to 4 times a year?
That's it.
Can you imagine that? What would happen if you only read stop signs?
Wrecks everywhere.
Yeah, there's definitely. Maybe that's why there's a lot of wrecks. Okay, wait. Mm. So we're just going to give, say, just, 3 to 4 times a year.
4 times a year. So okay. Let me give you the stats. One-fourth of adults, 26%, say they never read the Bible, period. Okay?
25%.
26%.
In America.
Never read the Bible.
Just people or these Christians serve to read?
People.
Okay, people. So 25%, 26% don't at all.
At all.
Okay.
At all.
Not even 3 or 4 times a year, because that's the standard.
Correct.
That's a very low standard.
Very low.
Dear Lord.
Help us. Help us. Okay. Help us. All help right. us. One all in right. 10, 9%, read it less than once a year. Okay. One
oh, we're
going
to go lower than that now.
Well, no. We're going to swing the pendulum. We're going to show you.
So 9% does what?
They read it at least once a year. Once what? A year.
There comes Easter.
I guess
she makes me go.
Yeah, yeah.
And I read it.
And I read it. Maybe
John 3:16.
Yeah.
I saw that at a football game
once.
Okay.
Now, the total proportion of Bible readers—that is, those who read the Bible at least 3 to 4 times a year—that's 53%. Right. 15% of adults say they read the Bible daily. Greg, daily. 15%.
So 15% of Americans.
Yes.
Read the Bible daily.
15%.
Which means what, 85%?
Are not.
Reading it daily. And think about how people, you know, this is the largest part of the population, of a country's population that is on, you know, mind-altering type drugs and drugs that are trying to help people feel better about themselves, to feel, you know, their serotonins to get them right and their oxytocins and their... And it's like to get rid of depression and all that. It's like we're trying to chemically get life when actually life is in the Word.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the same report tells us that 77% of the same people believe that it is a holy, sacred book, but yet only 15% are actually reading it.
Book of the cloth.
Book of the cloth.
That's what you hear people. You hear some people say, that's a man of the cloth, you know. And I was like, well, that's Tarzan, but... they have this reverential mindset towards the things of God, but they don't have anything to do with the things of God. You know, but it's like in the 50s when you think about it, you know, Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries said, you know, people who didn't even know God honored God.
Yes.
And today people who know him, many people don't honor him and don't even pick up his word and how much life. And think about this. You know, when all the life that's been taken so far since 1973, Roe versus Wade, right? Mm-hmm. 55 million plus lives were taken in the womb through abortion, that if we would have been in the Word, maybe life would have come to them. But, you know, think about this. If we get back in the Word, instead of trying to protest our way to a better nation, a better way, why not Word our way?
That's right.
You know, get in the Word, and once life comes in us, then we begin to speak life. And when you speak the Word of God, I mean, you're speaking life. There's life in the Word. You know what I'm saying? And God can speak to you. You could spend abiding time with him. And we always talk about, you know, you need to abide with God. We say that because we want life to come into you. And if you don't know how to abide with God, we have a simple plan for you at iabide.org. You can see it in the lower part of your screen right there, iabide.org. You need to be able to get that and follow that. And you'll begin to see how God will speak to you. He will begin to show you and direct you, but also he'll give you life-giving words, words that bless you. When you share those words with other people, even in that day, people will say, you know, how did you know that's exactly what it's like? There's life in this proceeding word, this word of God that comes from the mouth of God. And God is, think about this, that, you know, God created you and he created everything and he's holding everything together and he's not far from us at all. He's just waiting to see if we'll reach out for him. And when we do that and begin that conversation with him, that his very life, when he says live, you know, we live. Mm. When he says be healed, we're healed.
Yeah.
You know, when he says, you know, to this fig tree, you know, that you'll never bear fruit again, within 24 hours, it dried up to nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the God that we serve.
You think about it, the two biggest reasons reported why people are reading the Bible today, two biggest reasons. One is because they want to get closer to God.
Right.
I think that's a good idea.
It's
we
a real
want
good
to
idea.
Read the Bible to get closer to God. I listen to other
books.
If
you get closer to the Word, read the Word. Makes sense, right? If
yeah.
Jesus is the Word.
Hello.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other reason is to help them with problems and issues that they're facing in everyday life, which
right.
is another good reason.
Right.
But it's so important because, you know, if you want to know about God, read the book that he gave us. I mean, there's a lot of people that are writing things about God, but when we take time to actually read the Bible and listen and learn and hear what he has to say to us, it'll literally change your life.
And you think about this, that, you know, air is so important until you don't have it. And we just take it for granted.
Yeah.
You don't have it. If you've seen people that's suffering with emphysema or breathing disorders, you know, and these type of things, and that they're just gasping, you almost want to breathe for
it's
them.
It's a tragic
you know?
Thing to see, isn't it?
It really is. But spiritually, you can see people who are just struggling, and you're telling them again that there's life in the Word, there's oxygen in the Word, and they go, like, I'm just too busy to breathe right now. I don't have enough time for life.
They say that's the biggest reason. In this report, the biggest reason why people are not reading the Bible is because they don't have any time.
And imagine what eternity is like with somebody who didn't have time for God. You know, you think about that. And I think about this, you know, this one particular, you know, man tells this young man because he was concerned about, you know, he's, you know, I want to have this kind of desperation. I want to have this hunger for, you know, the life or the word of God for God, you know, and this man takes him out to the water and the river, and he takes this young man and he takes his head and shoves his head underwater and holds him there. And he fights and he struggles and he's trying to, you know, it's like, this man's trying to kill me. Finally, he brings him out and this young man gasps for air. And he's like, until you're that desperate, till you fight. And this is when you understand how important air is, when God's word's pulled away from you. When you'll just be so excited about, this is oxygen. This is life. There's life in the Word of God. And there's been so many plots of the adversary and narratives spoken by those that are children of darkness trying to hold back people who have access to the light. There's people right now. I think about Demetrius Dudeman, that he's with the Lord now. But he would travel and take Bibles and he would put them in his suitcase and hide them to get them to his relatives and people in his country, and God would just appear, angels would appear to him and give him directions, these powerful things. And when he got caught, John, they would take him and torture him.
Wow.
And at one particular time, why? Because he was bringing life to Russia. He was bringing life to Ukraine. He was bringing life to the people that he was going to. And the devil does not want you to have life. He wants you to have death. And so when those that are children of darkness, the rulers of darkness who were ruling that nation, had their authorities who were enforcing darkness, found out that Demetrius Dudeman was bringing life, light in, oxygen into an oxygen-deprivated environment, they took him to jail, and they began to hook up electric battery cables to his body, and they would shock him. They would beat him. His teeth fell out of his face. Why? Because he was bringing the word. Not, I mean, I'm just thinking. Think about how that just shows you how important the Word of God is, that it is truly life, and the devil and the adversary and children of darkness, people that made up their minds, they don't want anything to do with the light. They want darkness. They're going to do everything they can to keep you from oxygen.
I think about dictators that come in oftentimes into a country. One of the first things they want to do is confiscate the light.
The right boss,
they want
right.
to take the Bibles out of your homes. They want to bring them all in. Or, like Hitler did,
right.
make up his
Wrote
own.
Wrote his own.
Made his own.
Yeah. What was it called? The
Mein Kampf.
Yeah, and it's trying to do away with light.
Yeah.
And it's because if you think about the Bible as just any other book, you know, as they were saying, you know, they were asking Denzel and Paulette, you know, why do you think that it's still the number one bestseller
year after year?
Because this is what the scriptures say. Scriptures say that the word of God is living and it's active. Think about it. Not only is it living, but it's active. Like, it's alive, you know. It's living. It's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. And, you know, it cuts both ways. And mm-hmm. it penetrates even to the dividing of thought and attitude, thought and intent and attitudes of the heart. I mean, if you're wondering, you're trying to go see therapists and psychiatrists and psychologists and talk to all your friends about what's wrong with you. And you're trying to, you know, people think you're actually wanting to be a doctor, but you're taking those classes trying to figure out yourself. You know what I'm saying? Hello. Instead of saying, you know what? I'm going to go to not just to bread. Mm. I'm going to go to the Word of God. I'm going to go to the Scriptures, the living Word of God. And that Word is alive. It's not like any other Word. And when we understand that, we'll be like this young man, and we'll just be going like, I can't wait to get Scripture inside of me. You know, no matter how you're feeling, you know you need oxygen. Mm. You know when you're underwater and you can't breathe, all you want to do is get out. You don't like, you're feeling miserable, you're fighting for your life or whatever's going on like this young man. But all he wanted was, he desperately wanted oxygen. He wanted to be able to breathe. And that's what, you know, what has happened to us in America when you look at these 88% of the people that have Bibles and that, you know.
The average American owns 3.4 Bibles in their home.
Right. But yet they don't pick them up.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's oxygen. We're suffocating. Darkness is in the land, and we're not even picking up the light. And the enemy has convinced you that, you know, like Denzel was talking about, you know, the these and the thous. There's other versions, like Paulette said. You know, listen more to Paulette. I mean, she was like, man, I hope Denzel gets this. But you think about it, it's like, wow, you know, that your life can be fundamentally transformed when you begin to get into. That's why he says, listen, I want you to be my disciple. A disciple, Jesus said, is those who know my word and follow my word.
Mm.
Because your life is fundamentally transformed. He's, you know, the word of God says the word is a lamp unto your feet. It lets you know where you are in your life, and it's a light unto your path that lets you know where you're going. Are you lost? Are you depending on GPS for everything? There is a God positioning system called the Word of God. Do you know the best way to create hunger is to deny food?
Mm.
You know, I don't want that. Okay, I'll feed you in a week.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, right?
Yeah,
you know what the scripture says?
Yeah. And Proverbs says, he who is full loathes honey. The word loathe means you're just disgusted with it, you know?
So you're full, you're like, I don't want any more banana bread.
Yeah. Normally, like, you know, Thanksgiving, once you've stuffed yourself and someone says, you want some pie? You're like,
Is it like,
Can't have it. Because you're full, right?
Right.
But he who's full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet.
And that, and the thing is that hunger is what we all need. We need hunger for God's word. And I think about this, that so when you think about Iran in 1979, up to that point, it was a total free nation that in regards to you could build as many churches as you wanted to. You can preach the gospel. You can pass out Bibles. But John, the reports are that nobody would even take a Bible. Nobody were interested in it. Christians weren't necessarily going and evangelizing. Mm-hmm. And it was just real difficult. Well, of course, in 1979, when the Ayatollah comes in, great oppression, the word of God gets pulled out. There was probably about 100,000 Christians estimated at that time. Today, after the pulling away of the word and the oppression and the denial, the hunger increased to the point, it was like 1.4 million Christians today.
Wow.
And they're so grateful to be able to get the word. And it's like, do we really have to go through all that to be hungry for the word? And God loves us so much. You know, a father loves his children enough to know how to create hunger in our lives.
Mm.
And the one thing we should really, you know, respond to, I mean, you can go where you want to go and do what you want to do. But if you really want to see God move, go where there's hunger.
Mm.
You know, go where there's hunger. And if you want things to change in our life, we need to be hungry for God. And the way it works is it's sort of like, you know, the more water you drink, the thirstier you get. It's really weird. If you don't drink water, sometimes your body can shut down and you don't necessarily want water.
Yeah.
But if you start drinking like water on a regular basis, you start wanting more water.
Mm.
And it's like the water of God's word. He says, you know, sanctify them by the washing of the word. When you start getting into the word of God, it creates this desire for more. It's really weird. So the more you stay away from it, the less desire you have for it. The more you're in the Word of God and you're abiding with God, the more you want it.
That's right.
Unless it's gone for so long under great oppression that you finally understand, like Israel did when they came out of slavery, they were crying out, deliver us from this oppression and from this slavery. And God heard their cries and he brought them. What did he bring them to? He brought them to himself and to his word.
Mm.
To his word. I mean, you think about that. And it's like, you know, we need to get that hunger, you know, and you think, you know, more Bibles are the answer. Well, you can get a Bible anywhere in America. As a matter of fact, you can get three at every Christian's. Okay. Yeah, that, you got them on apps. You got them on computers. You got them on, you know, regular Bibles, you know, printed Bibles. And but the thing is there any hunger for it?
Mm-hmm.
If most people are not even picking it up, what, 15% is through?
15% of reading it daily.
Yeah, that is like, you know, what? That is so important because life comes with that. Oxygen comes when you bring your head out of the water. You take a deep breath. When you want life, it takes more than just this natural bread alone. We got to have that word. And it's not a religious thing. It's oxygen to your very soul. I mean, even people who don't know God, when they put God's word into practice, it's so powerful that people could be saved and miracles can happen. And when they show up, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, they're going to even think that they know him, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not? He goes, no, you never knew me, but my word was so powerful when you spoke it, it accomplished something.
Mm.
That's how powerful his word is. Now imagine having a relationship with the word, with Jesus Christ, and speaking that word out. The enemy's been trying to deprive you of the knowledge, of the reality, of the power that you have access to. I encourage you to begin to pick up your Bible and abide with God. We got to get a hunger. It makes me think about China when these Bibles were being delivered to these young girls who didn't have the Word of God. And they had, it was all these boxes being delivered, and these Bibles were wrapped up in plastic, but they were denied the Word. But you got to see this. Take a look at this. It'll just bless your heart. Lord, give us this hunger and gratitude for your Word. That is so amazing. They ran to that, just like the young man came out of the water desperate for air. And they opened those suitcases and they just flooded it like fish would to bay. It's like, oh my goodness, the word of God. And they held it close to them and just, it just so grateful. I mean, you think about that. And it's like, that truly is how powerful the word of God is.
Yes.
And that if we begin to honor God's word, I remember people that just totally, they just dishonor the scriptures and they treat the Bible like it's, you have to understand, this is not a book like any other book. I want to pray for you. John, can you pray for our listeners that we would get that same hunger and desire?
Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for the truth, God.
Yes.
And we thank you that we have it freely available to us. God, we pray today, give us a hunger, give us a burning passion, God. Help us to long and yearn for your truth.
Yes.
Lord, help us to discipline ourselves, to seek you.
Yes.
And let your word go through us, Lord. Let it penetrate our hearts, God. May it inspire us and motivate us and compel us to love you more and to love others. Lord, we ask you, Lord, send revival.
Yes.
And cause us to yearn and thirst for more of you by reading your word each and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.